The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio. Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. If you can't hear the excitement in my voice, you must be a little bit nuts because it's playoff time. Whether it's NHL or NBA, man, oh man, we got some good stuff. Watching those young Milwaukee Bucks play the Chicago Bulls. In all honesty, that series could be 2-2. But it is 3-1 going back to Chicago. Stephen Curry. I really have no words to say other than unbelievable, dude. You are amazing. I love watching Steph Curry play basketball. I love watching the Golden State Warriors play basketball. And there are some interesting things happening on both the basketball floor, the ice, the arenas, you name it, man. It is awesome. Jeff, good morning, man. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Dorf. It's certainly an exciting weekend. That Golden State team, man, they're exciting. And they got a scrappy player in Draymond Green. So they've got personality all over the place. Very exciting to watch.
Yeah, it's fun, man. Get the sweep over the Pelicans. The other day when they come back from 20 and then the Pelicans are playing really well the other night and they come back and make it a very interesting game. But ultimately, too much Splash Brothers, too much Steph Curry. Heck of a job by Steve Kerr as well. Anyways, we're just getting warmed up. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. Tons to talk about. We'll be back in just a couple minutes right here on Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Ready for some outdoor cleaning? Well, don't forget your colors. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Coming up, a colorful interpretation of pressure washers right after this.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Want to take back control? A Generac Home Standby Generator protects your home against power outages every second of every day, all year long, automatically, whether you're home or away. Control your power, control your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator.
For more information, visit Generac.com or call 855-886-8203.
Pressure washers are fantastic tools when it comes to outdoor cleaning, but have you ever noticed the different colors of the available spray nozzles? Knowing these colors will help you choose the right tip for the job. Those color codes tell you what pattern of spray the tip produces. The white tip is a 40-degree fan, perfect for rinsing or delicate washing like windows. Green is the most versatile with a 25-degree spray pattern. It delivers good impact cleaning to remove grime and dirt. Your yellow tip, often called the chiseling tip, produces a 15-degree pattern and is the choice you want to remove peeling paint or mildew. Finally, there's red. This is a tip with no pattern at all. It sends out a fine pencil point and concentrated burst. While this nozzle is best for cleaning metal machinery, it also works great to remove grass from cracks in your sidewalk. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
Want to stay in touch with your favorite Sports Byline USA Network hosts? Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Sports Byline USA. You can also see the latest news in the world of sports, learn about upcoming contests and giveaways, plus catch up on guest info so you never miss a moment with the biggest names in every sport. Football, basketball, baseball, MMA, and more. No matter where you are in the U.S. or around the world, you can stay connected to the host and fans who love what you love. So check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Sports Byline USA.
I love iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
Love it.
Everywhere, man.
Seriously.
Everywhere, man.
20 million songs from 450,000 artists. iHeartRadio.
Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
I create my own radio stations.
iHeartRadio. Millions of songs, thousands of stations, one free app. iHeartRadio is that easy. Download the app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
Alrighty, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. As we said in the opening, a lot of NHL hockey playoffs, a lot of NBA playoffs. Major League Baseball, as we know, really going on. Something that we don't really talk about that much, Jeff, but I did happen to catch the Bruce Jenner interview on Friday evening. Your thoughts, man. I'm perplexed to be honest with you. Your thoughts, man.
I think that makes you the status quo, to be honest with you, Dorf. This is kind of a shocking thing. It depends on how old you are to really gauge what your perception of Bruce Jenner is supposed to be. By the time I was cognizant, I was born in 1978, so Bruce Jenner's athletic days were far behind him. By the time I really got to know this guy, and he was doing driving safety videos for Driver's Ed in the mid 90s, or at least in the early 90s, and it was replayed on via VHS throughout the late 90s. But as far as his decision and his feeling, I don't understand it, and I won't pretend to. But the guy's got the guy's got his life to live, and if he wants to live it or she wants to live it this way, I'm not really prepared to offer commentary on it because I don't think it's really any of my business.
You know what? I'm in very similar boat as you, and I'll be really interested to hear what Fred has to say when we talk to him in the next hour. But look, at the end of the day, man, you want to be happy with yourself. However, I am one of those people, man. We were put on this earth one way. I don't understand how it's natural or normal to then want to be something else. So look, I'm with you. I'm confused. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I have a lot of questions, to be honest with you, about the whole thing. And I'm lost. I'm really lost as to what is important in our society and what makes people tick. And to be honest with you, why is his story more important than somebody else's? I guess that's my feeling on the whole thing. And yeah, I know he's an ex-athlete. I know all this. He's going to sell ads. I get it, okay? I'm not stupid. But at the same time, I think my point is well taken. There are many people like this. So why is it more important for us to hear about this guy versus somebody else, Jeff?
I don't think that it has anything to do with him being a former athlete. I think it's that that family of characters that he runs with, or used to run with anyway, that really adds to his fame. I mean, it's a pop culture society. I don't think anybody, I don't think too many people remember too many Olympic athletes beyond, I think you guys like Jim Thorpe, Michael Phelps, to be more recent about it. But I don't think a celebrity has anything to do with his athleticism anymore. I think that it's all about his, his reality TV status.
Yeah, that's probably a good point, to be honest with you. I mean, again, I'm lost. I don't understand it. I don't get it. You and I are on the same page with this whole thing. There are people that do get it. They try to explain it to me, and all they do is make me more confused on the whole thing. So
You know, Dorf, it's tough, and you know, to take kind of a world view on it, it's tough to understand things unless we walk a mile in those shoes. And you know, and let's be honest, it's a rare pair of shoes to put on. But at the end of the day, I just kind of wash my hands of the whole thing. I'm confused, but I'm not sure that I have as many questions as you do. As much as I'd rather just let sleeping dogs lie or whatever.
Yeah, well, look, and I don't know if you happened to catch my Facebook page yesterday, but I did write a post about it and, you know, just asked a question. And I'll be honest with you, the response I got was overwhelming, Jeff. A lot of interesting commentary. So definitely check out my Facebook page if you haven't seen any of these things. But I was just amazed. You know, you have a lot of people supporting him, and then you have a lot of people, you know, obviously feeling like, what the heck is this guy doing? So I think it's like you're either with him or you're against him. I don't think there's anywhere in the middle. Do you?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's tough. But, you know, this is kind of one of those absolute things.
Yeah. I mean, again, strange stuff, weird, whatever you want to call it. Again, I'm not opposed to people being who they are. I know who I am, and I know what I like, and I've never been confused about anything. And, you know, I just find it strange. That's all. I don't get it. You don't get it. Maybe we should just move on because neither one of us know what the heck we're talking about when it comes to this stuff. But just wanted to bring it in because obviously it is somewhat relevant with him being a former athlete. And then obviously with the way that our society is today, you know, we like hearing about car crashes. We like hearing about, you know, positive things. We like hearing about all sorts of things. So just wanted to bring it to the light that obviously.
You know, it's funny that you do because this is really one of those weekends where the front page it spills over into the sports page somehow, some way. You know, with the incident around Camden Yards with the protest over Freddie Gray in Baltimore City, where
yes.
Fans were told not to leave the stadium over a public safety issue. I think they would, we should, perhaps shed some light on the earthquake in Nepal, the
yeah.
avalanche at Mount Everest that took out many athletes that were climbing to the world's highest summit. And of course they perished in this, act of God, natural disaster, but it's, the front page this weekend is spilled over and even Bruce Jenner, though it's a little tabloidish and, I think it was, one of those Friday Night Magazine, shows that, his story came out on. It's just funny because there's not really much of a separation between the world of news and the world of sports. And it happens a lot. It's really come to light this weekend when you look at the news headlines versus the sports headlines.
No, very good points, man. Excellent points. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, we do want thoughts. We do want opinions. 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. Hit us up on Twitter at @ByJeffRich or at Dorf on Sports. And also check us out here at Sports Byline USA. But let's get into some NBA from the other day. You had the Hawks playing the Nets. They get the victory, and I'm talking about the Nets. So now that series 2-1. Bulls and Bucks. I'll tell you what, man. It's been a fantastic series. And I'm not just saying that because I am from the great state of Wisconsin. Obviously, you know, I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan and Brewers fan and et cetera. But they have pushed this Bulls team. They really have. They lost in double overtime the other day. They fell flat on their face. But ultimately, they have played this team very, very, very tough, Jeff. And it could easily be 2-2 instead of 3-1 going back to Chicago.
Oh, I agree. Well, it could easily be over as well. You know, Bayless
yeah.
gets the big layup. I didn't know what kind of company he was in with as far as playoff buzzer beaters go until I saw the graphic on ESPN. A lot of names like LeBron James in the mix. Just some exclusive company for Bayless there, and I think it's great. And I think that this is probably the best of the four Eastern Conference opening round series. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, look, I mean, you know, look, it's either going to be them or the Nets and the Hawks, right? I mean, so, look, it is what it is. You know what? The East is a little bit weaker. However, I got to give some kudos to Jason Kidd making that timeout with 1.3 seconds left in the clock and then drawing up that play to kind of fake out D. Rose, where they act like they want to bring Bayless out, you know, to the wing there, and he just absolutely loses him in the dust and goes back door on him, and they get an easy layup. I mean, the whole thing was awesome. I thought the game was going into overtime from about the third quarter, to be honest with you, Jeff. But you know what? I was pretty happy to see those young Bucks get a victory, do it in the regulation instead of having to go an extra 5, maybe 10 minutes with this Bulls team. Because to be honest with you, they were gaining momentum. They tied the game up. And, you know, anything could have happened, to be honest with you, if it goes into overtime. But hell of a play by Jay Kidd, hell of a finish by Jared Bayless, and an unbelievable victory for a young Milwaukee Bucks team. So, all around, I was a pretty happy guy the other day. On the other side, John Poulter, our professor of sports, going to break down, probably to start off this time anyway, some NHL hockey, and then we'll get into some baseball. So keep it close. He's Jeff Rich. I would be the Dorf Man. And this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making 3 or 4 or 5.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can.
Alrighty, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich alongside me, as always. And now we're going to hook up with our professor of sports, none other than John Poulter. Good morning, John. How you doing, man?
Morning, Andy. Morning, Jeff. Doing very well, thanks. How about the two of you?
No complaints. Pretty weird storm this morning. I don't know if it caught you, Jeff, but a really crazy storm here this morning. Looks like it's going to be an okay day. A little bit cooler than usual, but I'll be honest, I don't mind it being a little bit cooler because I know what's coming. But did that hit you, Jeff, this morning or no?
Oh, yeah, it did. Hey, I'll be honest with you, too. You know, that good old hockey game song, I enjoyed the years that we didn't have it in Phoenix because one of my old buddies was the Iceman and said when he drove the Zamboni at intermission, he did not want to hear that song or the Zamboni song. So I think we heard a lot of Perfect Circle and Tool rather than the traditional cheesy old hockey songs. And I had to appreciate that when my buddy was employed by the Phoenix Coyotes, now the Arizona
Absolutely.
Coyotes.
Absolutely. Hey, John, let's get into this right away. Some unbelievable stuff going on in the NHL. Happened to catch last night's game, the Blackhawks and the Predators. I'll tell you what, I was pulling for the Predators just to push and force a game seven. Didn't happen. The Hawks get it done in six. Pretty impressive or what?
Oh, yeah. Two things. Two guys that really came to play last night, Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews. The look in Jonathan Toews' eyes, you could just tell that he wanted that thing over last night and didn't want to be going back to Nashville and playing with the potential and the loaded gun of a Game 7 and a Game 7 on the road with two teams that are very close. Just an unbelievable series. Other than the first game when I was still in Arizona and I only saw the overtime piece, I've been able to watch most of that series, including the three overtime period on Tuesday night. And that first overtime on Tuesday night was just unbelievable hockey. They played 20 minutes of stop time in about 31 minutes, which is about 8 or 9 minutes below the average. And that included about 5 minutes for a delay of game while they were looking for the puck and the goaltender's equipment. So it was just up and down, back and forth. Either team could have won that thing four times in the first overtime. The goaltending was that good, and it took 1 minute into the third overtime at approximately 2:15 Eastern Time, 1:15 in Chicago, before that thing was decided. But that has been a great series. I think when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I said Chicago, I said a long series, I said a close series. So far, I guess my thoughts were okay.
Yeah, no, you're doing pretty solid. That's why we have you. Let's kind of go through a few of these other series that are pretty interesting. We got the Capitals and the Islanders all tied up at three now. We got a decisive Game 7 coming from them. What do you expect there?
I expect more of the same. It's kind of been a funny series from the standpoint that each team has taken a bit of a different approach to each game, and it seems that the home team has always sort of been a little bit more aggressive than the road team, and the home team tomorrow is Washington, but Washington has no momentum based on the highlights that I saw from yesterday's game. They just did not appear to be pushing the play at all, and the Islanders actually played very well yesterday, and I think that could be a close game. And
John,
you and I have talked about Game 7s many times, and we both said it's one of the greatest things in sports. And in a lot of cases, I think you can throw the home ice advantage out the window for a Game 7. And I'm still going with the Capitals because of that home ice advantage, but I think it's a very, very minor advantage. And one mistake by either team, and it could be over.
Hey, John, we know where the Islanders play, you know, and they could have played their last game on Long Island. The Nassau Coliseum is nothing to look at or even smell or taste or whatever. But you know, is there a connection between this team, this organization, and the island? Or when they move to Brooklyn, is it going to be chalked up as no big deal at all?
Well, I've never lived in New York, so I can't answer the question from having lived in the environment, Jeff. I do have some friends and some former colleagues that work in New York, and several of them live on Long Island and therefore are Islander fans. They have told me that they will continue to support the Islanders, and partly I guess that's because they work in Manhattan and Brooklyn's a fairly short trip. So instead of going home and then going to the game, on Long Island, they will just go directly to the game and then head home from Brooklyn. So I think it might change the makeup of the crowd and the fan base a little bit. Obviously, there'll be some people in Brooklyn that didn't want to travel to Long Island that will now become Islander fans. There will be a few people that live on Long Island and have no interest in heading into Brooklyn or Manhattan, even for a hockey game. So I would think that the majority of fans will stick with them. I think the big advantage is going to be in terms of TV ratings. I think that it will probably generate a little bit more interest in Manhattan and Brooklyn for the non-Long Island residents. And the fact that the team is coming on is obviously going to be a big help, too.
Now, are they going to stay the Islanders, or are they going to rebrand when they go to Brooklyn?
There's been a lot of talk about that. I've heard stories both ways. I think at the start of the season, it was something they were very open to. My guess would be that they should stay the same from the standpoint that they've now come back and sort of gotten into being a good team again. If they were down in the dumps, that would have been the opportunity to rebrand and the whole thing. But my guess would be that they would be unwise to change. Everybody knows them as the Islanders. That's where they had their success, and that's how they've sort of returned to being a good team. But, you know, the people that own the team and own the arena in Brooklyn might want something a little bit more local. I'd like to see it stay the New York Islanders, but obviously nobody asked me.
Interesting. Very interesting. John Poulter, our professor of sports, joining us here, talking NHL hockey and a little bit more. But real quick, before we get to the break, John, will you have time to hang with us a little bit longer and talk about some baseball on the other side?
Oh, yeah. No problem whatsoever.
All right. Sounds good. Great. Red Wings and Lightning. That series 3-2. Red Wings on top right now. Will they close it out in Game 6?
I think they will, but once again, we've had a situation where each team has won one game in the other team's rink, so it could go either way. I've come to the conclusion that that's probably the one series where home ice means absolutely nothing at all, because both teams have played well at home, both teams have played well on the road. I was a little surprised that last night's game was so decisive, 4-0 for the Red Wings in Tampa. I expected that to be a close series. That was another one that I projected to go 6 or 7, and obviously it's going to go minimum 6 because that's where we are tomorrow night. But Tampa, to me, is a team that has more talent, but Detroit somehow seems to find that way to win, and Mike Babcock is such a great motivator, such a great coach, and so well-respected by his players. I suspect that he's going to have them in a situation where they can close that out tomorrow night, and Detroit isn't known as hockey town for no reason whatsoever, so my guess would be the Red Wings finish it tomorrow.
Real quickly before the break, Canucks and Flames. Flames get it done. They win the series 4-2. How's the feeling there in Canada about this?
Well, everybody other than those in the two cities, Calgary and Vancouver, I believe would be very much sort of divided on it. Most of the country has a bit of a dislike for the Canucks, and I can't explain why, whether it's the fact that, you know, they're so far away from Eastern Canada, or whether it's the fact that, you know, every year for the last 10 years they've kind of got to the brink of getting some success and then have kind of found some way to blow it. But Calgary, I think, has sort of won the hearts of a lot of Canadians this year, along with the Winnipeg Jets, simply because of the fact that they played so well. And here's a team that was projected to be in the bottom six and a lottery pick candidate, and here they are moving on to the second round of the playoffs. They're going to have a tough go with Anaheim in round two, but, hey, it's a lot further than a lot of other teams have gotten, and they seem to find a way to win at the end of each game.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, a couple real quick ones here before we take the pause for the cause. Blues in the Wild, they've got a game 6 going on later today. Canadians and Senators, another, you know, all Canada matchup there. Canadians have a chance to take them out. They're up 3-2. How do you see both of these games playing out?
Well, the St. Louis-Minnesota series has been as close as we expected. I think we talked a couple of weeks ago about it being goaltending, and strength-wise, St. Louis is a better team, but I think my thoughts there were that if Dubnyk could stand on his head for another 2 weeks, the Wild had a real good chance, and he's been doing that with the exception of one game. So I still think Minnesota can take them. St. Louis, to me, is a better team and should win. I don't understand why they seem to struggle so much when they get to the postseason, but I'm going to go with the Wild because they're hot and they're at home right now. And the Canadians were up 3-0 on Ottawa. I think they took their foot off the gas. The Senators won a game at home that was very emotional, and then they won a game in Montreal big time, 5-1. I've got to think that the Senators can make that go to a Game 7. I just have that feeling that Montreal is reeling a little bit. I don't want to predict a Game 7 result, but my guess right now would be we're looking at a Game 7.
Very good. John Poulter, our professor of sports, breaking down what's going on in the NHL playoffs and a little other stuff, because obviously the Islanders, interesting stuff there as well. But keep it close. On the other side, we're going to take some phone calls. Going to get into some baseball maybe a little bit. So keep it close. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, and John Poulter, our professor of sports. And you can get involved too, 1-800-878-7529. Keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports. And this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
If your kitchen cabinets are looking a little dull and grimy, it's time to get steamed up. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Just ahead, I'll share with you how you can turn your microwave into a powerful cleaning tool right after this.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Want to take back control? A Generac home standby generator protects your home against power outages every second of every day, all year long, automatically, whether you're home or away. Control your power, control your life with a Generac home standby generator.
For more information, visit Generac.com or call 855-886-8203.
Kitchen cabinets take a lot of abuse. Everything from spills, smoke from cooking, natural oils on our hands, even contact with our pets. All these things start taking their toll, and soon the cabinets just don't look their best. Here's a great tip for quick and easy cleaning right down to the pores. Take a regular kitchen sponge and run it underwater. Wring it out so that it's only damp. Place the sponge in your microwave and heat it on the high setting for about 20 seconds. Be sure to put on a pair of rubber gloves to remove the sponge because it will be hot. Using your favorite citrus cleaner, and I like the orange-based ones, spray it on the cabinets and scrub it down with the steamy sponge. The combination of the heat and citrus will cut right through all the grime and leave your cabinets looking new and smelling great. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Join the Napa River History Tour on a beautiful two-hour kayak tour as we discover wildlife and explore Napa's most revealing and provocative secrets. Perfect for all fitness levels and experience, we'll include the kayaks, life jackets, and paddles. All you need to do is show up and enjoy. Call 707-227-7364 or go to NapaRiverHistoryTour.com.
Calling all motorheads, it's time to rise up and pay homage to the Freak Nation. Or just flip your fat radio on to Speed Freaks every Sunday night at 7 Pacific on the Sports Byline USA Network. Join me, Kenny Sargent, with Statman and Crash Gladys for a freak of a good time as we drop in on the biggest names in motorsports, from IndyCar to NASCAR, the drags to Supercross, and a big-time rock and roll band from time to time. That's Speed Freaks, Sunday night to 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
Bobby Thompson up there swinging. He's got two out of three, a single and a double, and Billy Kraft is playing him right on the third base line. One out, last of the ninth, Bracken pitches, Bobby Thompson takes a strike call on the inside corner. Bobby hitting at 292. He's had a single and a double, and he drove in the Giants' first run with a long fly to center. Brooklyn leads at 4-2. Hartung down the line at third, not taking any chances. Lockton without too big of a lead at second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Bracken throws. There's a long pass. It's going to be, I believe. The Giants run the pellet. The Giants run the pellet. The Giants run the pellet. The Giants run the pellet.
gotta love those old school baseball calls from back in the day. It just kind of, I gotta tell you, man, I don't know how you guys feel, but I've always thought the radio broadcast took more skill and it was always more difficult, if you ask me, but I always thought it was awesome the way that these guys painted a picture when you were listening on the radio and you could really visualize through their eyes what they were seeing and you didn't need to see it with your own eyes. Does that make sense to you, John or Jeff? John?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. I think part of it is because the radio was invented before TV, so generationally, we've all been used to the fact that the older medium is the one that sort of sticks in everybody's mind. It's the one you can take with you. It's the one you can listen to while you're driving, which obviously you can't watch the TV. But I sit and think about all the historic radio baseball announcers that or baseball announcers, period, that we think of. And for the most part, they all either got their start in radio or they are always renowned as being in radio. And I'm talking about guys like Jack Buck,
Ernie Harwell.
Ernie Harwell.
Yeah.
Even Harry Carey and guys like that. We all think of them, and Vin Scully, we all think of them as radio announcers as opposed to TV announcers, even though most of them became one or both at the peak of their careers.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, I've always had a real appreciation for radio broadcasts and how they paint the picture. And look, it is what it is. Seeing through the TV is one thing, but hearing it and just painting your own picture, to me, there's just something really, really special about that. Hey, we're going to jump out. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
You know what I really miss is the days when, before the satellite feeds and the delays, the 7-second delays and whatnot, when you could sync up the radio with the TV broadcast.
Sure.
So you got that picture painted as you watched the game. I thought it was always fun to do that. And with today's technology, it's just difficult to pull that off.
Yeah, hey, I'm the same way. I used to love doing that too, Jeff. But it now almost seems as though one is substantially ahead of the other.
Absolutely. Good stuff, fellas. Just thought it was interesting when I'm listening to that call coming back into the break and just kind of made me think about when I was growing up. And there were two guys that I really, really admired, and they really made me want to pursue having a broadcasting career. And that's, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of either one of these guys, but Eddie Doucette and Jim Irwin. I used to listen to Jim Irwin every morning with my dad as he would take me to school. Before school, because I would play basketball in grade school for about an hour before we would actually have classes. But every morning I would listen to this guy, Jim Irwin, and he did this thing at the end of his show, and it was called His Viewpoint, where he just kind of spoke and whatnot about something that's going on. And it just made me really, really want to pursue a career in broadcasting. And, I owe a lot to those two guys because they inspired me. And I listened to them do the Bucks games, the Brewers games, you name it. They were all over the place, and they were big time when I was growing up in Milwaukee. So a lot of love goes to Eddie Doucette and Jim Irwin for me because they really helped me to decide that I wanted to pursue this in my life. But, let's jump out to the – go ahead.
Bucks, wasn't he, Andy?
Pardon?
Wasn't Eddie Doucette the voice of the Bucks around 1970?
Yeah, absolutely. You got it, man. You're bringing me back to like how old I am. But yeah, I mean, look, again, two very influential guys for me that made me want to pursue a career in broadcasting. So I have a lot of love and a lot of support for those guys. And I actually think Eddie Doucette was doing radio for a long, long time. He moved to Florida, and I think he recently stopped doing radio. So it's the longevity in it is pretty awesome, too, when you think about it. But, hey, let's jump out to the phones. Let's hook up with Chris. And, Chris, what's going on? You got Jeff Rich, you got the Dorf Man, and you got our professor of sports, John Poulter. What's up, Chris?
Oh, not much. How you guys doing?
Can't complain, man. It's another Sunday, and we're talking sports. And by the way, you can listen to this program live 8 to 10 every Sunday Pacific time as well. So go ahead, Chris.
So the D-backs, they're just looking streaky. But I can't complain. We were predicted to be the worst team in baseball, and we're 500. But lately, or now we're 8-9, sorry, but lately we're 2 runs over 2 games. It's not good. No hitting. And we spent $68 million on Yasmani Thomas, who can't hit the ball for beans. He's got three fielding errors in the last, I think, three games. It's like an error game. He can't play third base. He's too fat to play outfield, and he's not going to run down balls. He's 260 pounds. And then now our bullpen is terrible. We spent $68 million on Yasmani. I mean, so now we can't get our bullpen. And then Aaron Hill slumping, Nick Amedge trash. We got Paul O'Brien killing it down in the AAA. And I think we need to bring up O'Brien, send down Yasmani, and send down Amedge.
John, I mean, look, we talked about this, and we said that when things are going to be normalized here in a couple of weeks, and like you maybe even said, you know, sometime early next month, we'll have a real idea of what's going to happen. Well, the Dodgers are up there now. They're 11-6. The Rockies are hanging in there to a certain degree, and the Padres are starting to play a little bit better. The Giants are in the cellar, which is somewhat of a surprise, but they play good one year, they play bad the next year. We all kind of know how that goes. And then we got the Diamondbacks, who Chris is talking about. So let them know what's going to happen here.
Well, in terms of Chris's question and comments, I, not knowing very much about Tomas before he was signed by the Diamondbacks, because obviously we don't get to see baseball in Cuba, you always have to wonder about these guys when they come over. You know, are they overhyped? Are they overpaid because of where they come from? In terms of where Tomas fits with the Diamondbacks, I did see him play four or five games in spring training when I was down in Arizona, so I got to see some of his act. And, you know, to Chris's point, I don't understand why they thought they could make a third baseman of him, because he was primarily an outfielder and he is a big man. He doesn't look like your classic third baseman, but, you know, then again, neither does Pablo Sandoval. In terms of, the, you know, the Diamondbacks spending money, I agree with Chris. I would have spent that money on pitching or defense or another good average hitter, as opposed to bringing a guy in like Tomas that was a little bit untested and also very much a one-dimensional player. And it puzzles me why he didn't go the American League route, such as Cespedes and Abreu and those guys did, and sign with an American League team where he could be a DH. Because from what I saw and from what Chris is saying, it sounds to me as though this guy is made for the DH spot. And the last time I looked, the Diamondbacks aren't allowed to use a DH except for about 10 games a year when they play in the American League parks.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, and I think that's a pretty good analysis. I both think both you and Chris have a good handle on this. But here's the deal to me, and I've watched this D-backs team. Look, this Bradley kid is the real deal. We know what we got with Colemanter, but the bullpen is absolutely atrocious. Once they have to get away from a starting pitcher, they're in hot water, to say the least. You know, I mean, they give up home runs and they give up, you know, two or three run shots. So ultimately, man, that bullpen is so terrible that once they get past the starting pitcher rotation for the Diamondbacks, it's almost like you're saying, how bad are we going to get our butts beat at this point?
Yeah, I think part of the issue is that common belief around the game, from what I hear from you know, scribes talking about it, broadcasters talking about it, and even guys on the ball clubs talking about it, generally in terms of putting together a team, generally a bullpen is an easier piece of the team to sort of put together. And maybe that's what the Diamondbacks were looking at. Maybe they either haven't finished that process yet or they haven't done it properly. But, you know, sometimes the bullpen isn't the hardest thing to put together, but finding that right mix of guys before you're too far out of it, I think, is troublesome. And, yeah, if I was a Diamondback fan or part of the Diamondbacks management team, I'd be somewhat concerned about it because you know that the Dodgers and San Diego and San Francisco are all better teams, and at some point in time they're going to catch them and pass them.
Hey, a real quick question for you. Let's just kind of keep rolling.
Hey, Dorf, let me follow up on the Diamondbacks here real quick. Yeah, I think that this Yasmani Tomas contract, the $68 million, is really Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart's hide. I mean, if this thing doesn't pan out and you're Ken Kendrick and you paid $70 million for this bust of a player, and you know, he's got time to grow into being a ball player, being an everyday hitter in the lineup and whatnot, and fielding his position at least, you know, maybe just barely sub-mediocre. But, you know, their jobs hinge on this. I think if Yasmani Tomas doesn't pan out, we've got a new regime coming in Phoenix, and sooner rather than later.
You think it's going to happen that quickly, Jeff? given
that, I think they get about 3 years.
Three years.
And I think that these next 3 years hinge largely on the play of Yasmani Tomas, whether this regime is going to make it or not. Now, if they can win in spite of him, that, you know, there are other factors involved. But if they're still a cellar dweller and this Tomas contract doesn't at least play up to half its worth, I don't think that they survive this.
Yeah, no, good points. Hey, John, I want to ask you a couple things before we got to let you run. Most notably, let's start with the New York Mets. I mean, how impressive is this start by them? And, you know, we were talking about the Washington Nationals, and everybody's talking about the Nationals being a team to be reckoned with for the World Series. They're struggling right now. The New York Mets have absolutely been a great surprise, yes or no?
Yeah, they have. I don't count the Nationals out from the standpoint that I still think they've got great pitching, and we all know what great pitching does in this game. Mets are 14-4, 10-0 at home. 9 out of their last 10, they had that long winning streak that was broken by the Yankees on Friday night. Great start by Matt Harvey yesterday. He was absolutely dominant. I thought he might go the whole way, but he went 8 2/3. So that's a great sign for them that he's come back from the surgery so quickly. But, you know, talking about baseball, talking about National League Baseball, can I quickly hit your home and ask you two questions? Number one, did you see or hear Bob Uecker's comments yesterday about what he thought he might do personally in order to get the Brewers off the bad start that they've had? And second question is, given the collapse at the end of last year and the start to this year, do you think Ron Renneke is in some trouble in Milwaukee?
Look, I don't know how he's not in trouble, to be honest with you. I would have made that move last year. I mean, look, when you're leading a division for 150 days and then all of a sudden you fall flat on your face, look, I know that the players have to make plays and they're the ones who are out there on the field, but I have to think that the skipper has a lot to do with it. And if you don't have the attention of your players, well, they got to make a change. And I'm absolutely beside myself, to be honest with you, John, because this was a ball club that looked like they were about to turn the corner, and now they look like they've absolutely gone back 25 years, and I'm seeing a team that is just awful. So,
and now we've got LaCroix hurt as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, when it gets bad, it just gets worse, right? I mean, that's the old saying. But at the end of the day, man, very disappointed, and absolutely, man, this is one that hits the heart pretty hard. But we're up against it. Appreciate you taking time out, as always, John. Can't wait to talk to you next week.
My pleasure, as always, and keep well, and we'll chat next week.
Hey, I had to ruin my day with that Milwaukee Brewer thing. I'm just kidding. But anyways, John Poulter, a professor of sports, hanging out with us as he always does. Keep it close. One final segment to this hour. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
If you're looking for the perfect dentist to fit your needs, you need to call the Find My Dentist hotline. We're a free service that finds quality local dentists matched exclusively to your needs. We've been helping customers just like you find the perfect dentist since 1986. Many people want to go to a dentist, but they don't know how to find one that's right for them. So we do all the searching for you. With thousands of quality dentists nationwide, whatever you need, we can help you. From basic services like getting your teeth clean to teeth whitening, getting dentures, braces, and more. Basically, if it involves your mouth, we can find the best dentist for you. We're here 24 hours a day to help, and we even have Spanish agents available. So call now. Call 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
All righty, welcome back. Final segment on this hour of Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Thanks to John Poulter for joining us, breaking down some baseball and some NHL hockey. You know what, Jeff? We haven't talked much about it. I mean, we did mention it in the beginning, and we'll get into this more with Fred, but unbelievable performance by one Stephen Curry in not one, but two back-to-back games. You know, they were down 20 points in Game 3, going into the fourth quarter. They get that one done. Game 4, they played a great game. They just kind of, you know, had it going from the get-go that game. They meant business, but I mean, honestly, what can you say about this kid, Stephen Curry, other than fantastic, unbelievable, incredible? You got any other words for me, man?
Great. I mean, he's just a great player. I think that he facilitates. I think that, I think Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr set up a system that really, punctuates, his abilities and lets him do what he needs to do. He's got a great supporting cast there. And like I said earlier, Draymond Green plays great on the other end of the floor. He doesn't take breaks on defense. He's not the greatest defensive player, but he doesn't take breaks on defense, Steph Curry. And what he does on the offensive end of the floor is just, I mean, whether he's penetrating the lane or it's splash city from deep, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson's not too shabby of a player either.
No, that to me is obviously the best backcourt in basketball right now. Just poised beyond their years. They can hit any shot in the gym like you're talking about. They have a very high basketball IQ, makes great decisions with the ball most of the time. You know, everybody has mental mistakes here and there, but they have an unbelievable ability to just keep going and knock the negative out and just be all positive out there. So I'll be honest with you, man. I'm really impressed with what the Golden State Warriors did. They could have easily let Game 3 go by and just said, hey, you know what? We can win Game 4 and then go home and close it out in Game 5. But nope. They had a different type of mentality, and I guess that's kind of what I'm talking about. They had the mentality like, yo, we got this chance. We're going to close it out, and we're going to get this thing done. So kudos to them, man. Hey, Jeff, really good hour. Can't wait to talk to you next hour with Fred Wallen. So keep it close, everybody. Tons to talk about. We're going to bring in this guy from Southern California who's definitely out there with some of his viewpoints. So keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.